Greetings to all dear folks from PEI. I was here last year about the same time, and I want you to know that I identify with your situation in PEI because it was January 1998. Yes, January, we had a big ice storm in Quebec. Much of the grid of the province of Quebec was actually brought down, and we didn't have heat, and it was winter. Not just September. So praise the Lord for His goodness, and indeed let us count His blessings. The Lord is good, the Lord is great, and we have the privilege of sharing with you some of the progress in the Lord's work when it comes to the province of Quebec and also in other parts of the French world. So let's see here, we can get this thing going. You'll be coming soon. All right, fantastic. Last year when I was here, I spoke with you on the radio station that we were seeking to establish. Come on in, dear wife of mine. Help me set up this electronic thing. I'll do the sermon still, okay?
Please, that's not my.
Okay. We're going to start it over and then it'll be there. I was actually glad because last night I came and I was told that the church was unlocked. So I said, I'm going to have a peek and see if there is electricity. And it wasn't. I said, oh no, how am I going to show them pictures? And this morning I come in and there is electricity and there is heat. And we can have pictures if we can get to this whole thing. Hey, and we are there. So our goal, you okay there?
Yep, I got it.
Okay, good. Our goal was to establish 100 radio stations in the province of Quebec. Now, we managed to get one done, and I want to show you about that today. So this is the conglomeration of different organizations. They're seated at the table. You have representatives from Aujourd'hui l'Espoir. This is a sister organization that does the programming in Quebec City. And the radio programming is actually on the web. If you go to espoir.ca, you'll be able to actually hear some radio programming in French. And it also goes in other parts of French Africa, Haiti, and so on. So we praise the Lord for that. Also at the table is Galcom International, represented by Alan McGuire. And Galcom is the one providing the equipment. We also have Transworld Radio that helps out in finances, in hiring some people so that they can actually produce the programming. And of course you have BLF Canada. And I'm responsible to not just bring those organizations together, but also to see what are the strength of each one so that we can exercise a ministry in our given strength. Now, this little church is in Brownsburg, and it's actually not that unsimilar to your church right here. It was built in 1920-21 or so. So if you want to have a look at the inside, as you can see, it looks pretty much like this, about the same size too. And this church was actually closed. And someone came to see me and said, Pastor Roy, is there any way we can continue to use this church for the Lord's glory? And I said, give me 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks' time, I said, I think I got it. We would like to have a radio station being placed in that church building so that the message of the gospel carries on. So we started by planting an antenna 49 feet. We couldn't go to 50 because of local regulation. But you see this upside down cross in that tower? I think you can see it from where you are. Now this is how they actually brought the whole antenna up. With a pulley at the end of the cross, they winch the other section, put it on, and then raised the cross and brought the next section of 8 feet. So eventually, we were able to have a 40-foot tower with a 9-foot antenna on top. And this is what it looks like, and now the folks are actually putting this whole radio station together. And I was glad we had access to those tech guys. I mean, if you work in technology, there is a place for you in ministry. I want you to know that. And this is what it looks like once it's all put together. And we had a lot of work to do because you see this old hallway there in the back of the church. The church building actually caught fire following a baptism, or just before the baptism, when they were trying to actually get the water hot, and they overcharged the electrical power, and it went in flame. Now, there was enough damage, but it didn't bring the building down, so the insurance money restored the entire building. That's why the inside actually looked so good. But there was a section in the back where the baptistry was. It's about 4 feet by 22 feet. And this is where we wanted to put the radio station. So we had a lot of renovation to do. So this is what it looked like before. And we put in some insulation. We gutted everything and put in some insulation. And eventually we were able to make it look a lot better. And then we moved in the equipment. We had to replace the door and the window, because actually this radio station emits quite a bit of heat, which was actually surprising. So as a result, we put two little windows that we could open in the summer months to give it some air circulation. So now the back looks like this, and what used to look like this on the other side of the church building, and after we put a window, now looks like this. So thank you very much for helping us to set up this radio station. I know you guys have generously donated, and for that we are extremely grateful. And now the message of the gospel is going on in the town of Brownsburg, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we even have 2 hours every day in English, because it warrants that in the population of Brownsburg. So this is what it looks like. And I wanted you to see some of these pictures just so that you can count your blessings along with us. We have a little bit more work to do. I don't know how your doors are set up at minus 35 below over here on an older building. But in our situation, we can see outside through our doors, and the frost is even on the doors. What you see on the left is actually frost on the door. So eventually, we'll get around to replacing those doors to something a little bit more modern. I want to tell you that we have now 10 churches in the province of Quebec that are waiting to have their own radio station. And that is done in partnership with a local church. We have received from Galcom International the necessary equipment. And as I go back after another week, we will be setting up a schedule to go to these churches and start installing the radio station. So overall, this is actually quite cost efficient. This is what the equipment costs, and Galcom is providing this. They are in charge of raising the funds. And the individual churches provide a minimum of $600 a year. That's not a lot, but we wanted the churches to be serious in actually participating financially to the radio programming. What we also seek to do whenever we have a radio station installed, we do an evangelism campaign with another ministry that's called Every Home for Christ. Maybe you have heard of it. I happen to be their representative in the province of Quebec. And whenever we have a radio station, we want the whole community to know that the radio station is there, functional and operational. And therefore, we send a booklet for evangelism purposes. We also send a little card that invites them to tune in to the radio station. And it's actually interesting to see how many people tuned in once we delivered this. And those were delivered, by the way, through Canada Post. So it gets into every home. So this is a little bit of the ministry that we have been doing in the province of Quebec and will, by God's grace, continue to do. And I want to thank you very much for participating in this ministry. I have a prayer request on an entirely different ministry. And this one has to do with Haiti. As you recall, I usually go to Haiti once a year. I have not been able to go to Haiti to teach pastor in the last couple of years due to COVID, for one thing, and the travel restrictions. But now that COVID is supposedly over, I could travel to Haiti, but the political situation in Haiti is actually quite terrible. And we want you to pray for the pastor and Fiona that came here, actually started in that part of the world. And last year we helped financially with a generator as well as a water pump so they could water their Bible school garden. But of course now the price of gasoline, get a hold of this, the price of gasoline is $40.20 for a gallon. Now, not quite what we're paying here, at least not yet, praise the Lord for that. But they had to just not operate the generator anymore. I mean, the water pump doesn't work, which means the garden went to waste. So it's very difficult for our Christian brothers and sisters and the entire population of Haiti. So please remember to pray for the Haitian people at this particular time. And my desire is to go and minister to them. So this is my little report. And we're going to close this up from here. I wonder if you have any questions before we go to the study of the Word of God. Any questions on the radio station or Haiti?
Is most of the things broadcast, are they pre-recorded things from other ministries, or is it somebody actually in the studio talking? How is it working?
It's a mixture of both. But we have been fortunate enough to get radio programming from Focus on the Family, for example, that they have asked us to translate. So we have a team that translate that and then put them on the radio, but in French. So, and there are some people that are talking from time to time as well. So it's a little bit of both, but mostly programming that has been preset, and it operates via internet, high-speed internet. So, okay, other questions? All right, 1 Peter, chapter 2. And I understand that you're going to have to do a little bit of backtracking. Not sure what has transpired last week, but I was given the passage of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 25. And I understand that we'll have to backtrack to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But that's okay. I think we can do that. And as a preacher, it's always a little bit more of a challenge when you are assigned a passage. But I actually love it. I love it because it gives you the opportunity to study the context in which the passage you've been assigned happens to be found. And I want to give you a little bit of an overview by reading the verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2. So let's start there just so we can have the context. Therefore, the apostle is saying, rid yourselves. I stop there because there is something extremely important here. We have, as believers, something to do. And some of the things that we have to do is to remove some things that are negatives in our lives. And furthermore, I want you to underline the word yourself. Because when it comes to salvation, Christ does it all. But when it comes to the Christian life, some of it is your responsibility and mine. God is not going to do it for you. This is something that you have to do for yourself. So imagine this. The Apostle Peter is saying, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And then he says in verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now let me ask you a question. How's your growth doing? You see, this is something that a preacher, that an elder cannot evaluate in your life. This is something that you must evaluate yourself. We are called to grow, but let me submit to you that you will not be able to grow in your spiritual life if you don't first rid yourself of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, of all slanders. So there is a logic in which this is established. There are things we must do in our own life in order for us to be able to grow, spiritually speaking. So that's the essence or a bit of the context in which we find the text below in verse 13. Now, I have to admit, verse 13 starts extremely strongly. He says, submit yourselves. Now, what I'd like to do is be here when whoever has the responsibility to preach on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I'd like to hear that sermon. Wives, submit yourselves. I'm glad I just got verse 13 to 25 and I get to stop at verse chapter 3. But that's bound to be a very good sermon to hear for whoever gets to preach it. Submit yourself. Have you once again noticed the word yourself? At the beginning of the chapter, he says, rid yourselves. And here he says, submit yourselves. I'd like to submit to you the very idea that until you manage to rid yourself of certain things, you will find yourself in the impossibility to submit yourselves. It's just like if you think of malice, if you think of hypocrisy, if you think of slander, then how can you submit to the authorities of this land? It is impossible. So I'd like to submit to you that there is a connection between verse 1 and verse 13. We have something to do in order to grow spiritually. And once we grow spiritually, then it becomes a possibility for us to be able to submit. Because when it really comes to it, which one of us, I mean, really likes to submit? We like to be the boss, but we'd like to leave the submission to other people. But here it says, submit yourselves. Not an easy task. You see, throughout chapter 2, we are learning about what Christians are. They are living stone. They are royal priests. They are chosen people. They are strangers on earth. And then we also learn about what Christ is. He is the living foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the chosen one. He is the judge. He is the light. And then Peter comes to talk about respect. And in verse 13 to 25, he talks about respect to civil authorities. He talks about respect toward employers. And he talks about respect toward everyone. It is interesting that he enumerates exactly what submission is in what very specific area. Respect to civil authority. I mean, this is a bit of an itchy topic. Especially after coming out of COVID, you know, mask, shot, no shot, go out, don't go out, travel, don't travel, and the laws of the government, should we submit, not submit. There are times where this passage is going to be very difficult for believers to put in practice. I want you to know that. And I struggle with this just as much as you probably do. Let's be honest and say it the way it needs to be said. Therefore, I myself have something to learn from verses such as this. The very word submission is a very harsh word for anyone to hear, and even more harsh sometimes to obey. The word is a military term and means to place yourself. So there is an act of your will, not because you agree that you need to submit, but you decide to submit because it pleases God. Have you noticed what it says in verse 13? In verse 13 it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Not a pleasant command. One that is certainly difficult at times. And it is not based on whether or not you agree with the law of the government. It is based on the fact that you do it because you love the Lord. And you see, if you have grown spiritually because you have ridden yourself from certain things, then it will be possible to make a decision to humble oneself enough so that I say, I may not agree, but I will do it for the Lord's sake. That, my friend, is spiritual maturity. For every human authority. And then it says, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or the governor who has been sent to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. If we were to put this in today's binoculars, we could say submission to the federal government, submission to the provincial government, and submission to the local government. Submission to every authority, whether Rome, whether the governor who leads things by or not. That, friend, if you have never had any difficulty in that aspect of this verse when it comes to submission, it's simply because you haven't lived long enough. Give yourself a few more years, and I'm sure you will find opportunity to probably have a tendency to rebel. Let us remember that Peter wrote this during the time of Nero, who was a man that was extremely cruel to the Christian. Human government, I want you to know, was first established in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Human government is not something that man invented. Human government is a God-given institution. As Noah and his family walked out of the ark in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, right from that moment, God instituted human government by man who sheds blood, by man his blood shall be shed. This is when human government was actually instituted. It's not something that came along in the New Testament and all of a sudden Peter had an epiphany and said, oh, I think it'd be a great idea to submit to the government. And government was instituted by God, just like marriage was. Now, it's interesting that it has taken many forms over the years since Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. You have, for example, government that are a monarchy. Now, we used to have a queen, now we have a king. That's a monarchy. And then you have other countries that are led by dictatorship. Not very pleasant, and submission is that much harder for believers in countries like this. Then you have a democracy. Hey, what do we have in Canada, folks? What? A democracy? You actually go and vote? And put your weight behind the decision that are going to be in the future? And you see, I just missed my vote because I happen to be here. There is a vote to be done right now, today, in fact. So, go figure, you see. We think, now, I want you to get a hold of this, because we think that a democracy is the best place in the world. Is it? What is the best form of government? Is it democracy? Well, it's better than others, that's for sure. But is it the real best one of all? No, it's not. No, it's not, because we know very well that in a democracy, 30% of the people can go vote and decide on the next leadership, and it brings in a whole new set of laws that all of a sudden we have to submit to. See? It's just the way it is. What is the best set of government? It's not monarchy, it's not dictatorship, it's not democracy, it is certainly not anarchy. There's only one left. It's a theocracy where God rules. this is what's going to happen in the millennium. This is what's going to happen in heaven, a theocracy. That's what it is. This is what the children of Israel had in the wilderness and much further, until one day they decided to choose for themselves a king, thinking that a monarchy was better than a theocracy. It just so happened that they made a big mistake, and God said, this is what you want, this is what you get. And from that time on, for a long period of time, Israel had a monarchy rather than a theocracy. But I want you to remember that once we get to heaven, we're going to have a theocracy where God actually reigns. And that's actually the best form of government. Peter knew very well that the only time a believer could refuse to obey the law is when the law of man comes in contradiction with God's law. And this is where Peter himself said, it is better to obey God rather than man. In those situations, we must be willing to pay the price in suffering in well-doing. Now, if you find yourself in this kind of scenario where the government or the law is asking you to do something that goes against God's moral code of value, then be prepared to pay the consequences. In some places, simply preaching the gospel brings you to a place where they can decapitate you. You see, there is a cost for disobedience. But, like Peter says, disobedience for well-doing, not for evil-doing. To put in today's language, in our day, we must submit to federal governments, provincial governments, as well as local governments. And like it is said from the Apostle Paul in Romans 13:5, be subject for conscience' sake. You see, submission comes in, it's something that happens in here. You decide. You say, I don't like it, but I'm going to submit. Now you do it because you love God, and not because you're necessarily in agreement with a particular law. And this is when it gets really tough for believers. Submission to authority does not eliminate freedom for the believer's life. Let us always remember that the freedom in the New Testament is not a political freedom, but a spiritual freedom. The great freedom of the Christian life today, freedom from the ruling power of sin in our lives, freedom from guilt because our sin have been forgiven by God, and freedom from the impossible attempt to earn favor with God through a perfect obedience. Those are all freedom that are spiritual, and those we have access to, but it's never a political freedom. If you have that, thank the Lord every single day that you have a political freedom in the land in which you live, because it's not the case in many, many countries. But the scripture does not guarantee you political freedom. It only guarantees you spiritual freedom. Let's make that difference and understand it, because some people will do crazy things under the name freedom. Now, of course, there is the respect to authority, but in verse 18 to 20, there is respect to employer. I have been in both contexts throughout my life, as an employer and as an employee. And what is striking here is that submission is also requested from an employee to his employer, but even employers that are not very nice. There are some employers that are like this. If you happen to be an employer today, aim to be a nice one. Aim to be a fair one. Because there's enough employers that are not fair and not very nice to their employees. And this is what Peter is encouraging. There are difficult ones. And verse 17 of chapter 2 talks about respect to everyone. Now listen carefully, because I'm going to make a statement, and I don't want you to start thinking that the preacher is preaching heresy, okay? Listen to the entire reasoning, and then maybe we'll be able to come to an agreement. Every human being on earth is son or a daughter of God. Do you agree? Do you agree? You have a right to vote in a democracy, you know. As long as you don't raise both hands. You agree? You agree? Now, listen to the other part of this statement. Every human being on earth is either a son or a daughter of God by creation. Our job is to bring to God's creation the message of the gospel so that they will become, by adoption, sons and daughters of God by regeneration. You understand this whole theological thing that we can see so clearly in this passage? In verse 17, and I'd like you to turn in your Bible there. He says in verse 17 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone? You mean people of different color? People of different creed? People of different persuasions? People of different convictions? People of different opinion on marital status? Show respect to everyone. Why? Because everyone is a son or daughter of God by creation. It just so happened that in Genesis 3, sin entered into the world, and as a result, men now need to be redeemed, and when they are, they become the adoptive son and daughters of God by regeneration. This is why we need to respect everyone. And it's hard because, you know, there are people that come from different places. There are people that have different ways to worship. There are people that don't believe what I believe. And somehow, I can feel at times that my belief is more important than his belief because he's wrong and I'm right. Respect everyone. This is tough, friends. But until we do, how are we going to do to bring them the message of the gospel so they become sons and daughters of God by regeneration? You see, you will meet a lot of people that do not agree with you, do not look like you, do not have the same customs as you, do not go to the same church as you, but respect everyone. This is what the apostle is saying. Respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. So there is two areas in which we must challenge ourselves. One is toward the respect to everyone. The other one is toward becoming loving or more loving toward the people of God, the children of God. Respect everyone. And verse 21 to 25 of 1 Peter 2, we have a role model. And it is very interesting here, and I would like to read verse 21 to 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you. So you ever wondered what the will of God is for you? Look no further. To this you were called. To what? Submission to authority, respect to others, loving brothers and sisters in the Lord. To this you were called. So you know so clearly what the will of God is, and until we understand what the general will of God is for us, how can we expect God to reveal his specific will for us? You see, oftentimes we can even beat our head against the wall and say, God, I want to do your will. I want to do your will. Show me your will. Show me what I should do in life. Before God shows you what he wants you to do in life, think of 1 Peter chapter 2. His general will is revealed so clearly, and until we put it in practice, he is not interested for you to work for him. Just as simple as that. Because you'll go from blunder to blunder. So when someone puts in practice the general will of God, God finds it so pleasurable to reveal himself in a specific way to an individual in life. Remember that. Then he says in verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, I did a little bit of research on this word example. The word example obviously comes from the Greek, but also we have the word in English and in French, copy. Copy. This is what we ought to do. But what happens to, I have seen in situation where a technician comes in to fix a photocopy machine because a secretary has complained that on every copy there is a little line that's there and it doesn't go away no matter how many copies you make. So the secretary complains to the company sends the technician comes in. You know what the first thing a technician will do? Simple. He lifts up the cover and he cleans the glass. And all of a sudden, this line was a hair that was on the glass. No wonder it appeared on every single copy that was being made. But you see, if we don't rid ourselves of certain things, we will have lots of blotches on the glass. And when it comes time to make a copy, it won't look so good. Because as the adopted son and daughters of God, we are copies of Christ. Representative of Christ on earth. You know what the purpose of man was when God created man? He created man to be his representative on earth. But unfortunately, because of sin, that image of God in man all of a sudden was blurred. And now it is only through regeneration that that image can be restored. If only we follow the instruction that we have seen this morning. Because we know it's the will of God. And when it's time to make a copy for someone to read, like a neighbor, like a friend, like someone you're trying to reach, it will be a beautiful copy without blur, without hairlines. That appears every time on the copy. Oh, friends, in conclusion this morning, we can at least say the following. To refuse to grow spiritually is to refuse to renounce to deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, and worldliness in our lives. Let's take a moment in honest reflection and ask ourselves, is there still some deceit in my life? Is there still some hypocrisy? Is there still some envy, some slander of every kind? Is there still some worldliness? Those things we must rid ourselves. God is not going to do it for you. This is something each and every one of us has to do for ourselves. Then it will become possible to grow spiritually. And when it's difficult, especially, we'll be able to submit. You see, God's desire and will for believer is that they willfully submit to his institution of human governments, even when those are difficult and very imperfect, while waiting for our heavenly eternal theocracy. We are God's representative of Christ on earth. We are not free to do as we will. We are free to serve God who freed us from sin. And let us always remember, friends, that our motivation to always respect authority, respect our employers, and respect everyone should always be because it is God's will for us and it pleases Him. All suffering is unpleasant, but it is just as much a gift from God as salvation is. You see, 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about suffering. I know you've read the verses, but I want you to become familiar with another verse, and this one is found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. When it comes to suffering, really and honestly, no one likes to suffer. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, I have discovered the truth. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. Now here is a few thoughts to ponder. Today, in this verse, we have two gifts that are clearly spoken. We have one, the gift of salvation. And two, we have the gift of suffering. Now tell me, and tell me honestly, which one of us is very excited to open the second gift? Oh, we're quick to open the gift of salvation. That one, we want to be with God in heaven for all eternity. But when God gives you the gift of suffering, when that time comes, maybe when you get older, maybe when you get into some accident of some kind, when that gift of suffering comes, will you open the gift and say, "Thank you, Lord"? And sometimes suffering comes because you refuse to obey the government because their law went against God. And you're paying the consequences and you are suffering for it. Peter talks about that in Peter 2. You see, friends, we often misunderstand God's purpose in saving us. Yes, He does give us eternal life. But He has never promised a life of ease. Never. You don't see this anywhere in Scripture. All of His blessings are spiritual. Oh, you see, friends, if you benefit from the blessings of God, don't forget to say thank you. Because there is a place, there is a time when God may ask you to open the gift of suffering. And when that day come, will you be ready? Will you have managed to rid yourself of the things that we need to get rid of so that we can grow spiritually enough, so that we are spiritually mature enough to say, "Yes, Lord, I will open that gift of suffering"? Oh, you see, in this context of 1 Peter chapter 2, Christ is our example and we are His copy. What kind of copy are we? Oh, you see, today, if you are still a son or a daughter of God by creation, I want to invite you to become a son and daughter of God by regeneration. And if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior and have been regenerated, then have you followed Him in the water of baptism? Because it is a commitment, it is a first step of obedience after salvation. Only you know if you have accepted the Lord. And if you have you taken a public stand to identify yourself with God through the water of baptism? Because you see, Peter talks about it just a little bit further in chapter 3, when he says in Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, he talks about Noah, and he says in verse 21 that they have been saved from the waters, and he says, for everyone looks out for their own interest. Oh, sorry, I'm still in Philippians. I'll go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. A pledge. Baptism is a commitment. And you know what is a great pleasure of being a visiting preacher? Is that I know absolutely nothing about anyone, except of course my grandkids, my son-in-law. And if I say my daughter, I can say that because she's outside right now. So I won't owe her $5 afterward. But for the rest of you, I don't know where you are spiritually. I really don't. But I urge you by the mercies of God, if you are still a son and daughter of God by creation, become a son and daughter of God by adoption, by regeneration. And then follow him in a pledge, in a commitment, in the water of baptism, so that you can declare your faith publicly, saying, I am a child of God by regeneration. I am one who wants to represent Christ on earth as a good copy. And there is things that are no longer part of my life. This is my challenge for you. And if you are a believer and you're thinking of getting baptized, you know who your elders are in the church. Speak to them. Ask them if they can let you make that pledge to God publicly. May the good Lord bless you.